Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're so glad that you're here. It's a four-day week here in the States. Well, we've already used up that extra day off, so hang in there. We're going to get to Friday. To do that, we've got some great listener questions, including a question from listener Natalie up in Downers Grove, Illinois, where I once inline skated laps and laps around that town. She has is this romantic question here in September? Gotta love that. And we're talking about Wine and Dine Weekend as well. So stay tuned for that. First, a word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing on my iPhone 7 Plus, which I hope to be getting rid of here very, very soon. Is this right? 125 days to go. Can that be right until Marathon Weekend 2019? The heat index is over 100 in St. Louis today, and it's only 125 days till Dopey again. Hey, I get excited for my next trip every time I look down at my phone to place a text, grab a phone call or post to social media. You can do the same. So check out these and other great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. They're over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who continues to support the Be Our Guest podcast every time you shop on Amazon. It really does help us cover our hosting and bandwidth, and it really does support the show, and it's the easiest way to do so. So anytime you got to buy something on Amazon, and we know that's pretty often nowadays, just click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1377 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you, which feels like a Tuesday because Tuesday felt like a Monday. But hey, it's all good. Hopefully you had a good day off on Monday. Got to have a three-day weekend. We're settling back in. We're settling into the fall. Maybe you're listening to today's show with a pumpkin spice latte or whatever, just something on Starbucks can charge you $7 for a coffee. I don't drink that stuff, but if you do, more power to you. Have fun. You know, it's almost fall. It's football season. I think that's why I'm so excited. And I'm sporting a Pittsburgh Penguins t-shirt. So some people know what that could mean. It's awesome. I'm just telling you, thanks, Scotty G. All right, so let's answer your listener questions. Joining me today from down in Atlanta, Georgia, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less, who just survived a battle with death this weekend, apparently. What's up, Ricky?
I am alive. I had a fun emergency trip to the emergency room on Saturday night.
That and sounds like a Muppet thing, like you're safely inside the theater.
I am. I just had a nice bronchitis, which I did not get from Pam. Which is ironic. And then also had some dehydration. So had to have an IV done, breathing treatment. It was all fun. All fun at 10 o'clock at night on a Saturday. So that's the way I roll, right? I mean, on a holiday weekend, why not go to the ER? I think that sounds like a perfect plan.
You get to see, that's good people watching, usually.
There was nobody there. I take that back. There was one gentleman in handcuffs.
Exactly. That's always the best people watching. Boy, you go late at night on a holiday weekend, man. You get to see some stuff.
I don't know what happened. I was leaving as he was coming in. I don't know anything else.
And I've had a few of those IVs for dehydration. I'll say that I always feel like an elite athlete when that happens, because you know how like in football they bring you in at halftime and pump you with IV fluids? Like, I'm like, they just want to get me out there for the third quarter. Let's do this.
That's right. That's how I felt, man. It was like 11 o'clock at night when I left. I'm like, yeah, let's do this. I can do anything right now.
I know, you feel good like instantly. It's amazing. All right. Also joining us now, you might remember her. She was a rumor here for a couple months, but apparently she's back. We have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. I know. Pam, welcome back to the show.
I am back. Yes. I'm happy to be back. So sad that I missed so many of you over at the Indy Disney Meet, but so proud to be able to be a small part of that from far, far away, and that the giveaway of the trip raised so much money. That was awesome. I'm so glad to see that. And that was just a very cool thing to be a part of it. And how funny that people who already booked with us are our guests won the trip.
I know!
Boom.
So anyways, that was really, really cool. But everyone did great work out there. The Indie Disney Meet team is awesome. And again, it's really awesome to be a part of it. So
absolutely. It was a great time. We had so much fun, but we missed you definitely. Where's Pam?
So next year. Thank goodness we had so many team members out there. We had planned this year on having a bunch of our agents being there, and thank goodness that was the plan.
Right?
That would have been kind of whack. But
well,
anyway.
Except for one agent who had slippery hands. But we'll talk about that's actually in the ad read for Friday's podcast. So stay tuned for that. I'm sure she's going to love that.
And Pam, goodness,
you don't get she feels so bad.
I know.
And you I already told her, don't worry about it.
That's okay. National championship football trophies have been dropped the same way, which we'll reference in the ad on Friday. But anyway, let's get to the questions. This one is awesome. I love when you get a good title. You're going to bump to the top. And this one says, I've been waiting almost a year to ask this listener question. So you know what?
We're ready
to
for
check it.
It
out. That's right. It's from Natalie. She says, hello, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. If you wouldn't mind, I have an is this romantic question.
Ooh,
here we go.
I know,
in the heat of the summer, in honor of my husband in my 10th anniversary this week. So happy anniversary. Happy 10 years.
Yay. Happy 10 years.
Here we go. Is it romantic to end a kid-free weekend at the boardwalk by running the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, taking a break in Hollywood Studios to ride Tower of Terror? We're super hot and sweaty. I pity whoever sits in the seats after us. And my husband hates thrill rides. I think he only agreed to go on it with me because he was delirious from running. We did hold hands. He did. He told me he was miserable, but ride photos prove otherwise. Thank you for bringing our family a little joy every week. Congrats on the huge check that you sent to Give Kids the World. Love the Perillos. They're up in Downers Grove, Illinois, where I used to speed skate. Love that little town. All right, so apparently they've done this already. It's not for this year,
but
it sounds like they did because they have a photo to prove it. So where does this fall on the romantic scale, Pam? What do you think? We're kind of off because we haven't done this for a few months, but what are you thinking here? Hot and sweaty Tower of Terror ride in the middle of the Wine and Dine Half Marathon.
I can't necessarily say it's romantic. I may say it was... a good way to run a race, though, a good race activity, like more riding of attractions and maybe less running during that, I think is always a good thing. So, I mean, yes, I will give you that. Romantic, probably not, but fun, yes. Necessary, maybe. you know, a good point of rest, yes.
Yes. Yes. What I say is when you survive something together, like if you're in a miserable situation, like sometimes like mile 12 of a half marathon and it's hot and you're both like, oh my gosh, why did we do this? It's so miserable. I'm sweaty. I'm burning up. I just want to get to the finish line. When you, and considering your husband doesn't like thrill rides, you make him go up and down on Tower of Terror after he's run like, you know, 10 miles and he's hot. You know, it's kind of like when you share in misery, when you look back on that, like, oh, remember that time that we did that together? That's romantic. Right, Ricky? I mean, am I on the right track here?
No, you're absolutely on the right track. I personally think romance can be found anywhere, so I think
even
it's
in a sweaty seat on the Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's a good way to kick it off. All right, next email, best split stay ever from Ben. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm going down to Walt Disney World. First time driving from Dallas, we normally fly, with my wife, 16-month-old, mother-in-law, and father-in-law the week after Thanksgiving for a split stay at Saratoga Springs and Copper Creek. We're doing one night at Saratoga at the beginning of the trip and five nights at Copper Creek. For booking fast passes, will we be able to book the entire length of our trip when we hit the 60-day mark at Saratoga? Or will we have to book fast passes on two separate days? Hope this question makes sense. Thanks for adding some Disney magic to my day 3 days a week. Ben, of course, is down in Dallas. Two great resorts there, Saratoga and over at Copper Creek at Wilderness Lodge. Pam, how about the split stay making the fast passes?
So... possibly. It kind of depends on how your tickets are linked up and all of that. Are your tickets, or do you have an annual pass? You know, all these things are sort of going to play into that. As a general rule, if you have a split stay and your tickets are on the first part of your stay, you typically will be able to make them for both reservations. Sometimes that does not work, though, and you have to call Disney and they can sort of do some finagling behind the scenes there in MDX. So yep. I'm going to say Yes, hopefully.
Yes, that's what I think too. It's that you should be able to, but if you don't, you can call the My Disney Experience Help Desk 407-939-4357, and they can try to help you out and get that done.
But gift flights of passage for anything you can get that first morning, whatever day you can get it, switch stuff around and do flight of passage because that's what you need them for.
So. If you don't watch the videos, we record these live on Facebook, usually on Mondays around 5:30 Eastern. You miss comments like Mike Bankhead, who just threw one up here on the screen, and it's he says he could romance the balloon ladies. So I don't even know what that means, but you know, I just had to throw that in.
Maybe he sweet talks them, not into doing the sweet.
Maybe.
Right, Mr. Bankhead?
That's what he means.
That's what I'm going with.
And to charm the balloons right out of their
Totally charm them, yes.
That's it. And the balloon ladies used to be like, you know, like a whole line of ladies with a bunch of balloons. Now it's usually like two people with like, you know, they're not even nice balloons. They're like cheap ones you get at Party City. It's kind of sad. I mean, if I'm going to get swept, I want it to be dramatic.
For Star Wars, I saw that they had the Death Star balloons, which I think was quite...
That's pretty cool. You know, but I want like 50 balloons. I want it to be like the up house that sweeps me. You know, like if I'm getting swept, I want it to be dramatic and big. Yeah. I don't want it to be like three balloons. Anyway, I'm back to track. Jennifer's got a question. Best pre-food and wine breakfast. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm starting to plan or daydream about our 2019 Wine and Dine Half Marathon trip. Yes, it's over a year away, but with it being close to that time this year, I thought I'd go ahead and ask a question. What would you guys say is the best breakfast option in the Epcot area? For lunch and dinner, we planned a snack and sip. Just thinking about that cracks me up. Around the booths and pavilions. Old school people remember that one. Uh-huh. But since that won't start until 11, we need to fuel up for the day post-running. It'll be three adults and Mickey waffles must be a part of the equation. I have severe food allergies, but I have yet to encounter a Disney restaurant that can't handle them well. Thanks for keeping me entertained on my runs. Roll Tide and go Lizards. Jennifer is in Virginia. All right, so Pam, what would you do? So they got it. Mickey waffles have to be a part of the equation. They're in the Epcot area. So you got the resort, you got any place in Epcot itself. Where would you go for breakfast?
One of my new favorite spots to have breakfast is Ale and Compass. And they've made a change recently. Not only have they brought back
the
buffet, but they've also brought back some of the other things that people wanted to see. So you have the option, again, of choosing either an a la carte option or the buffet. And they brought back some of the favorites that they, you know, used to have from the past, like the chocolate waffles and things like that. But I think a la carte options are really good. They just have some unusual options, some things you typically don't see. One of my favorites is this little, they call it some kind of pie, but basically when they say pie, they mean pizza pie, not pie, because it's the first time I ordered it was for dinner and I was thinking like some kind of chicken pot pie and then the pizza showed up.
Oh, so that would have been so good.
I know, yeah. Right? But anyways, but the pie was really good. The pizza pie was good. So, love that. And Jocelyn is saying that Lutre and beans. Want everyone to know they strongly agree, and they loved it too. It just really is a good breakfast, and I almost hate to say that too many times. Yeah. So 50% of you, could you forget I said that? Like if you're not really into it, like if it sounds like it could just possibly be okay, then just forget I said that.
Right.
And then the rest of you can take the advice. So
agreed.
Anyways, but it's a good spot, and I like it, and you know, that's all there is.
So I'd say for a sit-down breakfast in the Epcot area, just real quick, I don't know if they have Mickey waffles, though, because I haven't done it since they've changed over to Trattoria El Forno. If you want to get some cool pictures and good food at Boardwalk, that's something to think about. I think a lot of people miss that one. Okay, Ricky, over to you.
I've got my option. Besides Pam's excellent choice of Ale and Compass, which I have loved ever since it was Captain's Grill, just want it to be known that I loved it before. So before it got popular, wink, wink.
Captain's Grill was popular in its own right.
It was.
Ricky was country when country was cool.
Look at Ricky trying to take credit for this.
I am. I'm totally taking credit. But I do take credit for the chocolate waffles because I complained about them every time I went there for breakfast. And yes, so I brought them back. Okay, not really, but you know, I just want to make myself think that I did. So I'm going to suggest, in Epcot, I'm going actually suggest maybe going to Garden Grill. The reason behind this is you actually can get Mickey waffles here. So I do know that. And they have the best tater tots. I'm just telling you right now.
Everything at that breakfast is so stinking good. That is a good
breakfast. Chippendale, I know it's not... It, it's probably not what they're looking for because they had the allergy, but they have that bake of the cinnamon bake thing. Oh my gosh, that thing is so good too. The cinnamon roll bake, that's so delicious. So yeah, I'm going to go Garden Grill.
And how mad is Jocelyn that none of us mentioned France? I'm just saying.
I know. I know.
On purpose. All right, Jocelyn. Next question. First time signature dining. Help. It's from Kara. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'm going to Disney World in April 2019. I'm already beginning my months of pre-planning. That's good stuff. I'm going for the first time with my little brother, age 14, and my birth mom. This is their first full-fledged Disney trip and staying on property at Art of Animation. It'll be my eighth time. We really want to do a signature dining restaurant. I've done many table service, but not any signature dining. I am uncertain as to which one to pick, mainly because I really only eat chicken and notice many of the signature dining options have steak, fish, and other meat options, and typically only one chicken dish. What would be a good option for us? We will be on the Disney dining plan, so a place worth with good adult beverages would be awesome as well for me and my birth mom to enjoy. Thanks in advance. Kara is in Wrentham, Massachusetts, 1,021 miles from Mike. That's actually the exact distance in miles from my house to Pop Century. That's crazy, 1,021. I know that. 914 from Ricky and 464 from Pam. All right, Pam, so you are probably the out of us three, the best, in the know, signature dining. So she likes chicken. You know, I like chicken too. This is kind of my alley. So where would you suggest a good option with some drinks? Not intimidating signature dining, but might have something good on the chicken side, on the yard bird. What do you think?
So it has to be chicken. Like it can't be seafood or fish.
Well, I don't. She says she likes chicken, so I don't know. Chicken.
And she did say that she kind of implied that she didn't really like seafood.
I was getting. Wondering if she actually came right out and said that. So I believe, and I'm pulling up the menu as we talk right now, but. Jiko has a good chicken dish. And I really enjoy Jiko. I've said that many times here on the podcast. Just, it's a great place. The restaurants at Disney World do really kind of focus on, they have maybe a beef option or two, some lamb, pork, a seafood, fish, things like that. But the one at Jiko is the Chermoula chicken. And it is good. It's good. It's not too odd. It's not too thing, everyone is sort of afraid that Jiko maybe is offering food that's a little too exotic. And I can tell you the things kind of sound exotic, but everything just tastes good. So that's good. My other favorite dish, and I know we're not sure on the seafood thing, but is the maize crusted halibut. And I've recommended that dish for years and years. Everyone who's had it loves it. That tomato butter sauce is so good. It should come in a shot glass and you should be allowed to order it. So it's really good. I know, really. I mean it. So there is that. There's also some other choices there. But the good thing about Disney restaurants in particular is if there's something that you want to change, if you need a suggestion, whatever, they're there to make some suggestions for you and maybe we'll do it. And by the way, they have good drinks there too. Jiko has some great drinks in addition to an extensive wine list. A lot of South African wines that are just so good. They have great mixed drinks there too. So look at the menu there and see what you think about that one. See if that would meet your needs.
I want to echo Jiko as well, because again, I don't do a lot of signature dining because again, my kids like nuggets and even my 21-year-old still likes nuggets. And so we tended to, eat at regular table service meals and quick service. But we went to Jiko in April, and I'm not a fancy food person. And I felt kind of intimidated going in, like the perception, like I was like, oh, Boma's about as fancy as I need to get at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Sanaa, even a little fancier, but I'm comfortable there. I'll tell you what, Jiko, the food was amazing. And the atmosphere was comfortable. It was everything a restaurant should be. It didn't seem... I think when we think of signature, we think of kind of like snooty. Some people do. Until you experience it, sometimes you're like, I don't belong there. If you've never been, it's kind of like there's a barrier to that word signature dining. What I experienced was it was really good food. It tasted awesome. It wasn't eccentric. It was just really good food presented in really interesting ways, like the dessert that looked like a little bird nest or bird or something. I don't know what that was, but cool. I tore it up. But it was just a neat place to experience. So I think Jiko, again... is a great first signature restaurant because it's very, very comfortable. And it's very, it's exotic and comfortable at the same time. It's a weird thing, but I loved it. I can't wait to go back. So, Ricky, what would you throw in for this one?
You know, I will say that while it does seem like chicken may be the thing that is what we're looking for, every signature restaurant will have some sort of chicken dish on the menu more likely. So, you know, that's going to be my best suggestion for you is to look at the menu and see menus of the signature restaurants and see which chicken dish sounds the best to you because, you know, Disney knows that they are appealing to a wide variety of people with these signature restaurants. So they really do have a dish for everyone. So that's why you see a lot of seafood at them or you see a lot of steak and things like that because they know that they're appealing to a wide audience. But they almost always have a chicken dish on the menu as well. So my option I'm going to suggest is I would say just go with the classic of the California Grill. I think that that would be a really good option. There's a ton of stuff on the menu there. You've got stuff for adventurous eaters and, you know, maybe some who are maybe not so adventurous, that kind of thing. So and you got the view. So that's why I'm going to suggest California Grill. I just think that that's going to be the better option.
That's a good
call.
But
I agree with you guys. I think Jico is probably an excellent choice.
Good calls. All right. Next email says Magic Kingdom's 50th anniversary year. It's from Paula. Hey, Mike, Pam and Ricky. Been listening to the show for over a year now, and you guys feel like family to me. I love that. Love the
we
banter.
Feel like family to us too.
We try. I mean, we get each other sick virtually. I mean, what else? How else could we be a family?
That's right. I mean, Pam infects everybody.
That's how it goes. Love the banter between all of you and the Disney magic you bring to me to my everyday life. I've been to Disney World 3 times and Disneyland Paris in the last 2 years. So I guess you could say I've been bitten by the Disney bug. My husband is not as much of a Disney fan, so it'll be a few years before we get to go again. He turned 40 in the parks last year, so I've decided that I get to go for my 40th birthday as well. I'm thinking about taking my mom, who will turn 65 the same year. It'll have to be a chill vacation as my mom has had major back surgery and cannot do roller coasters. This trip will be in 2021, so I know I've got time, but I just love having a trip to count down to. So the question is, would it be better to go in January of 21, my mom's birthday, or August 2021, my birthday? Our very first trip was the 4th of July, so I'm well-versed in the heat and crowds of the summer. I do like the weather in January better, as my second trip was in January 2017. What are your thoughts? Will there be anything out in January or August to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Magic Kingdom's opening? My mom has always wanted to go and just never been able to, so I want to make this trip as special as I can for her, and I think it would be great to be there during the 50th year. Or, to throw another option out there, do we want to wait and go in November? I guess she meant 2021 and go to a Christmas party too, because it's 2017. Can't do that. Our schedules are pretty open, so we can just travel about any time. Thanks so much for helping me get through this. Paul is up in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. 286 from me, 695 from Pam, and 839 from Ricky. But most importantly, 1,100 miles from Walt Disney World. All right, so Ricky, you read all the, you know, right now it's still speculation and rumors for 2021, but we know that's the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World Resort, the Magic Kingdom in particular. What would you do, January or August? You got cooler weather, warmer weather. I mean, of course, we don't know anything for sure about the celebrations, but what would you say at this point if you had to guess?
So, Walt Disney World's 50th is technically, the actual date is October 1st. 2021. That's the official 50th opening date. Or 50th date. With that being said, of course, it's Disney, so they will probably celebrate with, you know, year-long celebrations.
Yes.
The question is when will the year-long celebration start? Will it start in January of 2021, or do I think it'll start later? That's the question. I suspect if you want to make sure you see everything, I'm going to tell you to push it back a little bit later to go towards the July date. And really, I may even consider that November date, just because if you want to make sure you see everything for sure, they will have as much as they possibly can have open by that October date, because that is the official 50th anniversary date. So, but I suspect they'll try to have majority of the things open for the summer before that. So that would be, you know, that would be why I think the July date would work out well as well. So really, my suggestion is either going to be July or November if you want to see the most for the 50th.
I 100% agree with your logic there. Pam, what do you think? Because I think if you push it out further, you're going to have you know, because they're going to try to, I think Disney's really building up to 2021, and there's a lot of projects and a lot of, you know, things up in the air. But I mean, if the later in the year, the more opportunity you have for things to be completed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we've seen lately from Disney's timeframes is they're cutting it a little close. There's some delays that are, you know, that are happening that really impact that. So let's, I think that you've got a lot of things figuring into it. And I think you're always safe on the later end rather than trying to predict that it might be earlier. So,
yeah, I would say too, if you're looking to book, you know, say, I really like that November 2021, because you know what, you're after the 50th anniversary official date. I think it'll start in January, if I'm guessing, or, you know, sometime earlier in the year and extend for like 12 to 18 months. It's going to be a big deal. But conservatively, if you're going to book after the 1st of October, if you really want to make sure that you're there for the 50th celebration. But I would say this, book as soon as you can if you're going to book after October 1st of 2021, because that is going to go quick, I would think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully there'll be a lot more hotel rooms by 2021. But, you know, still, you know, the early bird gets the worm. So I do that. Mm-hmm. All right. Lauren's got a question. Adult Disney trips, the title. Good morning, BOGP crew. Well, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. I have a question that I think Pam can really help me out. All right, here we go.
Ooh, okay, pressure's on.
All right, here we go. It says, she says, Mike has helped me out with a trip next fall with my best friend. And since this will be an adults-only trip, can y'all recommend some great lounges or restaurants where we can get away from the little ones? We both enjoy good drinks and good food. We're staying at the Beach Club for 4 nights in September and are hoping for low crowds and no... I'm not even going to say the word. It starts with an H, and we get them in the fall. But I'm not saying it today. And we're thinking about the folks down in Texas. Hopefully this one isn't a bad one. I am a more frequent Walt Disney World traveler than he is, but he has been a couple of times years ago. I went last January of this year. Anything new that you found that you really like? As of now, we are sure planning on California Grill, Tudo Gusto, Gico, The Edison, and La Hacienda de San Angel. What would you suggest? Thanks, Lauren. She's down in Dallas. This is like a Dallas show. And right? Nancy's in the chat, so there we go. All right, so she's looking for some meals and some lounges. So first of all, let me just say, I had an Edison drink for the first time, made by Phil Schangle during the Indie Disney Meet weekend. Those things are so good. I'm going to have to get over to the Edison. I'm just saying. Okay, so Pam, give her some lowdown on the lounges. You are the lounge expert here.
I know, right? So you're staying at the Beach Club, so you have a couple good choices there from which to choose. You have Martha's Vineyard Lounge, which is located right there at the Beach Club. And it's a great spot. It just is relaxing. There's lots of tables and little locations to sit. There are TVs and stuff like that if you want to do that. But you might want to check that one out. We actually have the menu over on the Mouse for Less. And in the same vein, over at the Yacht Club, of course, you have a couple good spots to go there, too. In fact, Mike and his wife and Steve and I actually went to the Ale & Compass Lounge, which I would recommend. Steve and I have actually, this will come of no surprise to anyone who watches or listens to the podcast regularly, but Steve and I have eaten dinner at Ale & Compass Lounge many a time. They have some good choices there. They really do. You can order full on dinner entrees or a couple of appetizers. And who doesn't like a couple of appetizers for dinner? To me, that's like the best dinner in the world, because you get to try a couple things and whatever. They have some good drinks there. You can try that one out. Those are located so close to your resort. You can always walk over to the boardwalk and hit Abracadabar, which is really just a lounge. They've kind of taken the food away from there, which is kind of sad, right? Because they had some more food choices to begin with, but just not anything good right now. So think about that. There's also some good spots still over at Flying Fish. There's a lounge there you can check out. But, you know, wherever you are, wherever's convenient to where you are, you can find a lounge at Disney World. So just check them out.
So let's add one restaurant to her slate of restaurants. She has some good ones there. I would say, well, I'm going to throw in two. Homecoming is a possibility, because your friend hasn't been there for quite a while. And also maybe Be Our Guest. I know it's a tough one, but if you want kind of the new kind of quintessential Disney experience, you know, I think people walk away from Be Our Guest, regardless of the food, with the experience. I've seen that on social media so many times. Like, wow, You know, and I'm talking about people that are not the uber Disney fans, like, you know, our audience tends to be, but kind of the casual Disney fan is like just amazed. I know it's a tough nut to crack getting that ADR, but I think if you're taking somebody you want to impress them with, a Disney restaurant PR guest hits the spot. So, Ricky, what would you say?
I'm going to stick with your Disney Springs area. I'm either going to say the Boathouse, or I'm going to say Morimoto Asia. I think those two are excellent choices.
And all the way from Rome, Joanne chimes in with Wine Bar George. Good call.
Good.
Or you could also try, if you're looking for another lounge, Jack Lindsay's as well.
Yes, especially if you're an indie fan. All right, next question. Let's see here. It just says listener questions. There you go. Let's call it what it is in the title. Here we go. It's from Haley. Hello, I have a question about the mini marathon in January. I guess it would be the half. Or the, I don't know, some smaller form of the marathon. My boyfriend is running the race, and since we're from Kentucky, we want to make sure we are prepared for the weather. Do you have any suggestions for those who are racing? Also, do you know when one should show up before the race? Haley. All right, Haley, let me tell you one thing. You're from Kentucky. Bring everything. And you know what? Here's the easiest way. I've learned this over the past couple of years, and I think a lot of the Lizards, our running squad, have started to adopt this idea, and we appreciate it because we have an Amazon affiliate link. I buy throwaway clothes and have them delivered to my resort. So I go on Amazon and buy the cheapest sweats, like a sweatshirt and a sweatpants, and I run the Dopey, so I'm out there for 4 mornings, and I'll throw on a pair of sweatpants and a sweatshirt, and I get rid of them once the race starts, once I get going. They're really cheap on Amazon. I don't have to pack them because I'm flying. They get delivered to my hotel, piece of cake, and they donate those clothes to homeless shelters, I believe. So it's kind of a win-win, and they're super cheap. So that's what I do. But I'll tell you, you know what, about January, if you've never been down for marathon weekend, it can be hot. I mean, it can be like in the 80s by the time the race ends on Sunday or Saturday, but it can also be in the 30s when the race starts at 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock. So you really do have to kind of prepare for everything. Bring it. You may not use it, but it's good to have it so you don't have to buy it. As far as when you should show up before the race, you will get a packet when you pick up your bibs. Do not be late to get on the bus because you will literally miss the race. So be there. I know you're going to read this. If you've never done a marathon weekend, you're going to be like, what, the 3 o'clock in the morning? That's a typo. What? That's not right. Yeah, it is. And it's ridiculous, but you have to be there. So have fun. See you out there. I'll be there. Say hey. All right. The next question. Here we go. Let's talk Christmas in September. I like it. My grandfather passed away about 12 years ago, and he made a train set for my dad and his brother when they were like 8. So this was like in the 50s, and gave it to them for Christmas. Well, my dad just sold their house because my grandma passed away a few years ago, and he found the train set. So I have it now. So my goal is to have this thing cleaned up by Christmas. And it's like a Lionel from the 50s. I'm so excited. Yeah, it's a mess, but I'm getting a toothbrush. I'm working on the locomotive when I get some time.
Fantastic.
I know. I can't wait. I'm so excited. All right. Nicole's got a question. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, our family, my husband, myself, and 3 kids, they're 14, 12, and 9, will be at Walt Disney World from January 2nd through the 7th doing a split stay between Riverside and Yacht Club. While we are Walt Disney World veteran visitors, making at least one visit each year, it's been a long time since we visited around the holidays, and I have a couple of questions. Number one, on our arrival day, January 2nd, we're planning to resort hop to enjoy some lounge dining and the awesome Disney holiday decorations. Will that be soon enough, or will the resort decor be getting removed by then? I've done some homework on the resort decorations, but I'd like to hear your suggestions on which resorts are your favorites to see with their halls decked. I think they'll be fine on January 2nd, right, Pam? I think they'll still be up. They kind of drag their feet taking.
Yeah, they'll still be up, I believe. You know, they start taking down some decorations at the resorts earlier, you know, than others. But by January 2nd, they'll still be good. They're always there good through New Year's. So nothing will be taken down yet.
Yeah, they're usually all up still for Marathon Weekend. But this year, Marathon Weekend is so late. I don't think that'll be the case this year.
The only thing that I worry about is, although maybe not by the second, but like the gingerbread houses, you know, at the Grand Floridian. I know that they took it down pretty quickly last year after all the holiday hoopla, as well as the carousel made of gingerbread at the boardwalk, at the beach club, that kind of thing. They do kind of take those down pretty quickly after the holidays, like after the first. So it'll probably still be there the second, but after that I can't guarantee much else.
It's it's probably because people start biting like pieces out of it. Like Christmas is over.
You know that people have been biting throughout. That's kind of the scary part of it all.
Right?
America. America. I need a shingle. All right, go buy one, sucker.
House right here. Exactly. No,
they don't need
how stale that is.
They don't need this flower. The flower box here.
It's made of chocolate. It's fine. I'll eat it.
You're rolling out of 1900 Park Fair, and you're still a little bit hungry. Anyway, number two, your second question. It looks like most of the park holiday events will have concluded by the time of our visit. The exception to this is Jingle Bell Jingle,
Bam
at Hollywood Studios. We will be sure not to miss this, but are there any other fun Christmas things in the parks that will still be available? Thanks so much for the great podcast. Nicole's up in Morton, Illinois. All right, Ricky, so it looks like Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam still happening, but what else maybe between the 2nd and the 7th of January?
So the decorations in the parks will still likely be up, as Pam had mentioned, and it will depend, you know, I know in the past they try to keep it through Marathon Weekend, but like you said, since Marathon Weekend is so late this year, I'm not entirely sure how long that will last, but you will get to see some of the decorations in the parks for sure. Unfortunately, you won't get to see, the Christmas parade at the Magic Kingdom, and Candlelight Processional does end on the 30th of December. So unfortunately, you won't get to see any of that. You definitely get to see Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, which is an excellent show.
It is. I've never seen the movies, but I like that show. With lots of lasers.
It's fun. Anything it's got lots lasers. Of lasers.
They're sweet. And they're red and green lasers, too.
They are.
All right, next question is from Amanda. It's a simple one. Can we take a refillable popcorn bucket from a previous Walt Disney World trip to an upcoming trip and get refills? I have.
Well,
next question.
Do you want the technical answer?
Yeah. You're not supposed to do that. But and if the design changes, of course, you will not be able to.
Up to Disney's discretion, but if they tell you no, then don't be sad and buy another bucket.
I mean, it's still a good deal. Like, even if you have to buy a new bucket.
It's absolutely a good deal.
Yes. If you are a popcorn eater, you will get a good deal, even if you have to buy one each trip.
Mike, you don't even eat popcorn.
I know. That's the thing. I don't even like popcorn, but we bought one of those refillable buckets, so I started eating the popcorn, and I ate way too much popcorn. Like, I was like, I'm going to eat my... I don't really like... You're right. I don't even really... Well, you know, Disney World's kind of the best popcorn. It was actually pretty good. I mean, if you're going to eat popcorn, Magic Kingdom is a pretty good place to eat popcorn. I'm just saying. But you know what? Like, you got to make sure that you're not trying to eat your way back to profitability on that bucket.
True.
Because
you're not
like, you pay for it in the end. Like,
like,
your stomach's like, oh, you're so stupid. You pay $12 to have to go to the ER.
The refill. It's just a discounted price.
Yeah,
it's not like
$2.
A free refill. It's $1.50, I think,
yeah,
for the
refill.
Yeah,
it's like $1.50 or $2. So, yeah, it's cheap. I mean, the thing was, we bought it for Emily and Mallory, and so they were trying to get the value. But, of course, if you're walking around with buttered popcorn all the time, like, everybody's, you know, like, there were like 12 of us eating out of that sucker. So.
Yeah, Brian and I just take handfuls and just shove it in our mouths. That's how that works. Yeah.
Then my gut was like, you're so stupid. Quit eating popcorn. Anyway, last question of the day. It just says listener question. It's from Ann.
Okay.
Hey, gang. My family with two kids, they're 7 and 9, are planning to celebrate New Year's at Disney World this year. We've never done this time of year before. We'd like to go to the Magic Kingdom on the 30th and Epcot on the 31st. Boom. That's exactly how you do it. All right. First of all, can you recommend a good spot to watch the Magic Kingdom fireworks Fantasy in the Sky? All right. She's got four parts here. So, Pam, where would you watch the fireworks in the Magic Kingdom? The Hub, I guess, if you can.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Hub kind of gal. Yeah. I like that view. Now, we experienced them on the 4th of July up by Big Thunder, which was an interesting location as well. I'm not opposed to seeing the fireworks from other places. We didn't plan well, and we were too far away from anything to get anywhere. But that wasn't a bad location. But if you're going to do it, I might suggest someplace that back by Fantasyland if you don't want to be in the Hub, because there's a good location from there too. But I just love the Hub. I do. So
yeah, that guy smoking next to us was kind of ruining my day too. I was like, put it out, man. You're not supposed to be smoking back here. He's killing me. She says, those fireworks more like Wishes than Happily Ever After in terms of the amount of a projection? I can't remember, like, with that. I mean, there's I would imagine
no
that everything
projection.
Has to have less, or none.
I don't think there's any projection for the New Year's Eve fireworks. because it's the old show, the Fantasy in the Sky. So there's no projection for that.
But is, I can't remember, is that, are, because I mean, I know how Illuminations typically does on the on New Year's Eve, but on the 30th, do they do Happily Ever After with a tag of Fantasy? They don't do it at all, right?
It's Fantasy in the Sky. It's a different fireworks show.
That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, I was getting confused there. She says, I've learned that there are generally two shows, one in the evening and one at night, which show do you suggest we watch? My kids are young, but staying up late isn't an issue for us. So I'm thinking, is there, I'm trying to think, because I know Illuminations, they do like an early, like 7 o'clock or 6:30 Illuminations, regular show. Mm-hmm. And then it, you know, midnight or 11:45, they do 11:40, they do the New Year's Eve fireworks with the big blow everything up tag. How does it work? Is there a like a Happily Ever After set like 6 or 7 on the 30th? I think it's just the one fireworks show, right?
Late. Yeah, I think so too.
I'm researching. I'll come back. So I know I have this information on the Mouse for Less. So I'm researching. Give me a second.
Well, this is the last question of the day, so research fast.
I understand that. I'll get to it. But I'll get back to it in a second.
She has one last part. Any recommended game plan for both nights? We've gone to Disney World so many times that for this trip, we just want to focus on enjoying the New Year festivities, not the rides. Thanks so much for your help. I always enjoy the show during my run. And, man, we've got a lot of runners out there, so keep on chugging. If you're listening today while you're running, I'm usually listening to podcasts when I'm running too. So I appreciate that so much. Hopefully you're having a great run and the wind is at your back. All right, so Pam, we've been to New Year's many, many times for New Year's Eve. It's doable. It's awesome. You just got to roll with the punches. So what advice would you give her going out for the first time for the madness of New Year's Eve, but also the joy of it?
Yeah, I agree. You know, what's funny is we have this Facebook group where we're with the Mouse for Less, where people are answering questions. And this one always cracks me up because when everyone posts that they're going to go at Christmas or New Year's, it's like 300 people are like, oh my gosh, no! That's the worst thing you could ever do in your whole life. Like, I think actually, so many people in that group think that going to Disney between Christmas and New Year's or on New Year's might be worse than murdering someone. I'm just saying.
Just pack your jammies.
I agree.
You would get less judgment for actual murder.
Wow.
Than you would.
No, because the thing is, like, it's fun. It is. I mean, you have to adjust your expectations, but it is fun in a different way.
Love it. All of us love it. We do enjoy it. We're there in holidays many times, different holidays throughout the year. And it's because it is so freaking magical. Like, I swear, I come home with, I know, freaking magical.
That's a good one.
Hashtag freaking magical.
Yes!
But anyway, it is. I swear I come home from those trips with, like, people who are like, was it crowded? And I'm like, no, it wasn't crowded at all.
I was the only one
there. I hardly remember the crowds because you just do so many cool things. You know, so that's the way to approach it. So for people who don't go maybe quite as often as we do, but still want to appreciate and enjoy the holidays, the thing I will say is, first of all, do not spend all day in the Magic Kingdom. No. Do not get there at 7 a.m. and try to make it to past midnight.
Correct.
You're not going to like life at the end of the day.
No, you're not.
Actually, you may end up killing someone by the end of the day.
Yes.
It's a wonder people don't get, 30 to life on New Year's Eve at a park.
Exactly. So don't do that. Despite what your friend told you, that if you aren't there at park opening, the park will be closed and they won't let you in. Not true. I have never been there when the park, even if it has closed to capacity, has not reopened in the evening. Always does. So don't worry about that. I guess have a freaking magical day.
Thanks,
love that, Dennis. So don't spend all day there. What you need to do is kind of chill in the morning, get your bearings, you know, have a good meal. Go in there, go into the park, having just gone to the bathroom, because the lines will be long, and just eaten, because the lines will be long. So arrive prepared and just ready to do what you have time to do. If you happen to do some attractions before the fireworks, awesome. Otherwise, just go and enjoy the festivities, because that's what you're really there for, and have a good time. Use those FastPass Plus options. They're golden on the holidays.
They are. Make them match the 60-day mark for sure. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
So, go and enjoy.
And let me summarize Pam's points here real quick, and then Ricky, you'll close us out with your answer. So she's saying go in full belly, empty bladder.
Yes.
secondary attractions.
Yes.
Have fast passes and don't be there all day. Just do the festival.
And have a freaking magical day.
Hashtag freaking magical day. All right, so that's what we have on the screen for Dennis. All right, Ricky, give us your answer, and then we're going to get out of here until Friday.
All right.
To slot that into more podcasts, by the way.
I think that's awesome. All right. I like how Nancy says that she'd like a shirt with that. Nancy, ooh, I can make that happen. So just letting you know, I can make that happen now. Be on the lookout for the podcast store that we have, and I might make that shirt happen. Anyway, so the fireworks Happily Ever After does show as well. So it shows about 6 o'clock at night, and then the big fireworks extravaganza happens at, you know, about 11:50 at night. So yeah.
All right. So we have the shirt sales already happening in the chat. So it's wonderful. Wonderful. I don't know if I'm agreeing with this, but hey, it is what it is. All right. So that's going to do it for today's podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. We love these questions. Send those to Mike@BeerGuestPodcast.com. We'll get these on the air right away. So today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com. At least it was today. I don't know about next Wednesday, but
yeah,
we'll
I don't
see.
Know about anymore.
So you can get a free app for your Apple device. It's called Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's awesome to read when you are having breakfast or when you just need some Disney news. So, Ricky, what are we reading about this week on Theme Park News Disney Edition?
We are reading about the fact that the Kringla Bakery has reopened at Epcot. Hooray! School bread for all!
Oh, my gosh. Crisis averted. Good stuff. It's back.
I think school bread's overrated, but that's, you know, me. I'm a terrible human being. So, anyway, the snack stop has seen an expansion in the ordering area. However, familiar items like school bread, lefse, Norwegian kringla, berry cream puffs, and the Viking chocolate mousse are all still on the menu, so never fear. Your favorite place has returned. It's just a little bit bigger, so you can stand in line a little bit longer.
So do they get rid of the stand out on the promenade, or is that still there too?
No, they got rid of that. Yeah. That was just temporary until they finished the refurbishment.
Now the lines won't be frighteningly out the door.
Right.
They'll all be encompassed in the beauty of the expanded queue.
Well, you won't see them as easily. You know what I'm saying? It's more hidden in the pavilion.
Right, yeah. You won't know how bad it is until you get in there and you're like, oh dang.
School bread.
Oh, maybe I don't need school bread today.
Exactly. I'm not going to school today. All right. So that's Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's a free app downloaded today, and there's other great apps to your Apple device and Disney device over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again, everybody who supports the show with our Amazon affiliate link. We really, really appreciate that. Just anytime you shop on Amazon, click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. We've got an awesome Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast where you can see the video for today's show. You can also check it out on YouTube, youtube.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. That's going to be it until Friday, where we're going to come back and talk about lots and lots of Disney news that has happened in the last week or two and give our thoughts and just have some fun talking Disney with you. So until we see you again, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we will see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.